Next year, and the appointment of the senior and all the agora vem para o momento de menino, para o menino, para o menino. Daqui a 8 anos eu saí do menino, agora eu saio do menino, eu já saí do menino, eu saio do menino, eu saio do menino. Daqui a 8 anos eu saio do menino, sabe decidir a sua valor da voz. Daqui a 8 anos eu saio do menino, sabe decidir a sua valor da voz. Daqui a 8 anos eu saio do menino, sabe decidir a sua valor da voz. Daqui a 8 anos eu saio do menino, sabe decidir a sua valor da voz. Daqui a 8 anos
Usually for 7 months, 8 letters, 10 it will sound like being repetitive.
Amen. 7. So Tuesday, I'm at the 8th, 7, that is learning according to the freedom of the board members. The new amendment only provides the regulation for the media and leaves out the process of publishing to the board. The minister may extend the term of office of any member of the board for such character of office in the state to come out of the board. That is the end of the content of our amendment bill relating to this very important. In developing this amendment bill, we have consulted the following institutions: the Crop Board, Board of Road Transport Agency, South African Maritime Safety Authority, South African Civil Aviation Authority, Transport Affairs Tribunal, Road Traffic Management Corporation, South African National Road Agency Limited, National Railway Regulator, the Department of Health and Consumer Development, the Office of the Safe Advisors, and SERA, members of the public who were consulted through publication of the Gazette number 27560 in 2005. And again, in the general notice of the intention of the Minister of Interior this year, in 2007, in notice number 924. In conclusion, we request that the Honorable Committee approve the transport agency to allow the amendment to recent 2007. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Members, I think this is quite clear that this amendment, of course, is based on the uniformity of all the institutions and agencies that fall under the public charge. And of course, I think that doesn't limit us from engaging with the amendment of the whole.
Thank you, Chair. I'll talk to Section 1, but as you said yourself, it applies to a variety of sections. And that is that you kept referring to the cumbersome process of the Gazette, but you didn't explain to us what that entails. You see, what we now want to do is go straight to the media, but perhaps you could just enlighten the committee on what that cumbersome process entails. Secondly, Chair, also to ask where the appointment of the chief executive officer is done, it says the minister must offer consultation. So he, and in your words, on the recommendation of the board. But after consultation means the minister can do what he likes. It's not in consultation. He can consult with them, but the decision is his. Shouldn't have it been the minister not in consultation. And not after. So that's why he was referring that one. And then also, the consultation process with all the various bodies that are influenced by this act. Were they all happy? I mean, I say they were consulted, but were they all happy with the changes? That's it for what I would like to know.
So,
thank you, Captain. Captain, I also think it's very wonderful. But my dilemma here, I think it was nearly a marathon in that and also what I noticed, but I don't know what it is in there, I'm in rushing up. The presentation does not read as friendly with the clauses that you see there. It may talk of clause 14. You look at the Western clause, left there's no such 14. You talk of clause 14, that's not, yeah, it's why and probably not a reader friendly. I don't know whether this is omitted.
But what's the name?
I'm looking both to that and referring to the Latin and D27. There are clauses that stick to be amended, as you would see. I'm going to try one. They. Okay. I might be having the wrong one. As usual, the IFP will be given the wrong one.
If I had gone through with a very fine marathon trying to follow up, I don't think there's much substantial things that one may be imperfectly taking into account. But my interest lies with the other body, which is the South African Civil Aviation Authority. That's exactly where my interest lies. There are quite a lot of things that we need to probably unpack. I don't think that body has ever appeared before, and there are quite a lot of red tape in that particular area. Because if you find that where the pilot actually exercises their function in the catapult or any other thing that they will do, it falls in the other function of the other thing. But when it comes to to licensing and then other things, then it comes to function. So the two bodies or the three bodies, which is also I think the regulating body there, they don't know what the other one is doing. Right at the moment, if one goes into that, I don't want to give an overview why I'm interested. We have gone a long way with pilots. And the ministry or the department has actually come up in a couple of times. The civil aviation in that. That's where not exactly. More specialty. And a lot of people have actually applied. And we don't know what happened. They go somewhere and dissolve in the scene. And we still have the old person lives there who are now actually working on contracts, renewing their contracts. We don't know the structure in the aviation. What are the Democrats? How far are we with this pilot? Whether we make the headway, which that in my mind we are not. We need to find out. Those are the issues that if we find them, we need to call that for you to come and explain to us what is their function. Now, let's go now to the subject. Before. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I want to find out from the problem you were talking about now, pilot. I'm
civil
aviation.
Nah, it's all the same
problem. Can I move forward and go on? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I will choose Duma because he was there.
And let's come now to the final, that is now where we do page 16. It explains here, sir, that the amendment bill requires to the CEO to resign in writing to the board and the minister, which comes here, which is the case, which is the case. Because the other one needs to be copied. So now, if we can get that clarity, because it sounds like it's too close, there would be something also have to pronounce themselves don't for us now. We do not try to get clarity. The other question comes on page 24. Now, it says the current position will be invitation of nomination through the media from any person or body with an interest in the aviation industry. Now, how does this now relate to those that say that of South Africa? How is that being done? I can see that it's probably through media and all that. What happens if those people have actually been it will also be coupled with the the question from 27, if that has been done. It says the submission of the short list to the parliamentary committee for scrutiny is done away with. What is the reason behind it? Because that, when we do oversight, we will need to be informed of all these things, but if that is done away with, we cannot scrutinize them, then we shut up. We will be told that, who are you now to challenge them as a my integrity? Those are the issues that I wanted to highlight, and thank you for allowing me to raise them.
I was listening to the pilot. There's nothing wrong with that. But the dilemma I have, in the principal act of talk about the remuneration of the board members, are these officials going to pay for it, or over and above their salary, or how does that finance apply to the departmental administration? Won't we not find in the elements of conflict of interest? Are they just going to be ex officio, or are they going to be part of the board voting in the future?
I don't
know. I want to address the issue of is there anything that the department is thinking about or ensuring that when you talk about having supervisors. We do include even those that are in the front area. Because they are the public, they are the people that we are looking to. And whatever we're doing, as your teachers, we always say that we're consulting the people, we're standing, all public hearing. But I know for sure, because we, as a person from the local, we don't do that. When we do that, I think it's very important. And those are the people that, both of you,
if you look The other question was appointment of the CEO. The question of mass appoint or after or in consultation or after. If you look at clause 14 of the amendment bill, clause 4 of the amendment bill, staff of the agency, it says the minister must, after consideration of the recommendation of the board. So I think it becomes clear after consideration of the recommendation of the board. The mass we have debated is large, and the reason why we felt very strong that we need to keep mass is that the appointment hours at the end of the day are better with the minister. And at the end of the day, whether he rejects this candidate A or B, but at the end of the day, he must appoint his minister. That was the rationale behind keeping mass. But after consideration of the recommendation, the other question was whether the police that we consulted were issued with the bill. When we do consultation with the members of the board, like we have mentioned this specific one, because this bill directly touches them or the operation, we normally, over and above, sending invitation for comments to the Gazette. The directly affected stakeholders will take the bill directly to the Gazette so they can comment on this. And then after the and we give the time frame within which they need to respond. And we are fully aware that the this also have legal advice, and we know that we must respond within the time frame. And if they don't respond within the time frame, but they still feel that they need better time, normally like that they say we would like to consider this matter, can we give us some time to comment on this? And we say that even advise them that we are not, even if the time frame lapses, they still have opportunity to come and make a presentation. Presentations are there this year before the committee. And in this instance, we do get objection from any position or an objection with the information. And if we object to one of the comments of this, coming from either member of the public or from the MC, we make sure that we put the reason why that we are comment before the committee. And if questions like this are asked, we should try to have that reason. And respond why we consider that the recommendation for the comment. The other question was based on the departmental recommendation. The question was whether who is going to take or does the inclusion of the members of the or employees of the department in this entity job. So they have financial implications. The answer is no, because these employees that are sitting in this board, they don't have voting power. They are supposed to feel that they need to use the strategic direction of the department to advise the board and to guide the board about the mandate of the department. And normally it will be the person who is able to acknowledge that the future that is related to that mandate of that entity. The issue of the performance agreement, I think, Miranda will talk to that.
CEO is more often in touch with the board.
and the CEO is responsible to the board, and the board is responsible to the minister. And if you look at the appointment process of the CEO, we are saying the CEO will be appointed by the minister upon recommendation of the board. Therefore, there is a need for the two matters to be informed, but I'm hereby giving notice that next week or next month I'll be resigning. It's imperative that the board must also know because we work closely with the board and also the minister because we have an appointment of this minister. And the other question was how are we going to come about informing Parliament about the nominated members of the board? And the question was whether which house of Parliament are we going to, or which house of Parliament is supposed to be informed? If you look at the definition of Parliament, or the Parliament is composed of two houses. Therefore, it will be imperative that both houses are informed about the ultimately appointed member of the board, in writing, especially. There is a question on 20, 27. Public reasoning, why public reasoning and government are very kind of really weak? The question was answered by the honourable member whereby you are saying in rural areas there are few offices whereby people have access to government services. And public in the government service also has for some cost implications, and very huge cost implications. One page of publishing just a list of what members of school can cost you up to 20,000. And yet the majority of the people do not have access to government services. That is why media, almost even in rural areas, can go ahead and take care of the media and the different people in the indications for common emotions. And the other thing is that normally in the Gazette we publish for a period of 30 days, and that if there is an agent in which to appoint those members, then also maybe sometimes can be too much for nomination of those members. For the Temple Act of RCMP, there was a requirement in the appointment process of the board. You call for nomination by invitation, and you do your shortlisting, and that shortlisting should be forwarded to Parliament for scrutiny. And sometimes, if there is a need for an agent appointment of the board, then that can delay because sometimes the Parliament is in the research. And there was a feeling that we should do away with that so that we can, that is why then we came up with this position that after appointment of the members, then ultimately appointed members should inform Parliament in writing about the members that are appointed to the House of Parliament. Ayanda will have a question.
At the time, we sent the nomination, all the nominations, to the PCC, the Financial Social Commission Council. They did nominate the shortlist. We normally need at least 8 candidates, but there was a shortlist of about 30 candidates to be near the 30 stage. And then that group of 13 people would go to the shareholders committee. Now the shareholders committee is constituted by all the MECs of transport and commerce. And the shareholders committee would then consider those 13 names, and out of the 13, they'll cut them down to 6. And in between these kind of these steps, we have to keep going back to government committee to inform the public that we are going to Parliament. And the shoulders from the chair cut down from 13 to 8. And we are now with the final 8 people that are now going to have a and then we do the final gazette to say these are the final members that have been appointed. and I think that this letter can be used to teach that he's bringing the entire list to Parliament in such a way that the Constitution provides that the entire list comes to the committee that is chaired by the Minister of all communities. So that's the plus, and I think maybe on the sense of that, I think that this is more decision to be carried.
Now, is this thing that you're asking Parliament to take its responsibility or its role, or its strategic role in the appointment of God, to take it away? Take your powers away, too. You don't want to do more. I'm just thinking, but members will engage. Are you done with the response?
Yes, I just wanted to put it in context.
Okay.
How it works, how Parliament is fitted in it, because I'd like to put it in, and how the rest of the process works. I mean, we know it's just about why it's so it's just in
while the point is very important for us, and it needs a support. Perhaps when we can do it, we can make note of the comments around the question, and maybe find a way of calling the agency itself, and interrogating the agency on its operation, its program, and how it handles questions on transformation. Because you spoke about transformation, pilot, the relationship between the two departments, that is transport and public enterprise and so on. Perhaps the agency would be the most relevant institution to be able to respond to that. But for now, maybe we need to focus ourselves on the amendment.
If I
don't
think I'm the question is the reason why the parliamentary committee is no longer involved in the interrogating their appointees. That function, I don't know, my sister tried it actually to explain that she falls into culture. Because we say, what is the rationale behind it? Because if we are involved right from there, not necessarily to know who is the person, but there are criteria that as politicians, we would like to know whether the person appointed there has a whether that person is a personally, it is a Christian proper person, not all those people. Those are the things that we think in our day is ourselves as politicians. Now, if you remove that function from us, then we are left with nothing. But to be merely informed that this is the body that is a person, and we don't want to do that. It's probably we can do in a valid reason.
Mine is a very simple one. If you take this responsibility away from us to be involved in the war, why do you still want to do that remain at the end of the day? What is the rationale behind to you know to inform Parliament of the note? What do you want us to do with that information?
I'm separate from the other issues that are it's true that we must go on the same for the
What are we proposing?
On this issue.
We're raising a concern. Yeah. What is it about? On this
particular. I can't hope to have been about to ask. What is the CJ? You know, we deal with so many things in this world. We know exactly what we do there. We get the briefing, we understand what it's all about, we make our job accomplish it. And they are public hearings, and they come back with their revisions in their list, and then we can still behave with this new final meeting. But are we sitting there today to go through the bill and come to the final decision without the time of ourselves going back to studying the implications and coming back to the second box? What is our procedure? If it will be there.
In terms of understanding the impact, it's up to us. If we strongly feel that we adopted this with amendments, whatever amendments that you would be proposing, and it is the responsibility of the party to consider. But then, obviously, they must go back to the NA. I don't know if we are concluded our process, we go back to the portfolio.
I don't understand. The problem is we get a cold, we come into the cold as a meeting. I don't know how we can finalize it for that. Because there are some learning points there that we as members need to learn from ourselves. You know, but in the past you came back for the second time on the 765 box.
That's the point. You must.
But if I understand the whole thing, what happened next from today? The person that you have to do, it comes to you for consent.
What about the first year? We can listen as
well. Yes, of course you can. Let's look at that opportunity. Follow your own strategy for concurrent for the decision part. And then if you propose you are not really unable to go back to any of the
questions. I think I'm still not understanding the real permission. The process outlining the Constitution is that we consider it and we do not a committee but the House, the Council. The NCLP, the Constitution Commission at the Council. The NCLP in plenary must pass the bill by a vote of the party, or reject the bill by a vote of the party, or make amendments and pass that by a vote of the party. That I understand, and then it goes back to the NA, we will then have to reconsider our amendments. My problem is not that. My problem is that our committee's process before we actually take these things to debate in our house is that we come here cold as members of party, we see the bill for the first time, we get a briefing for the first time. I don't know how we can make a final decision as a committee on our recommendations to the house at one meeting. I'm saying that yes, let's go through all this and ask the questions and then come back for the second meeting to have our final views on any amendments that we make before. We've got a sticky one now about the consultation process being watered down, with the transparency process being watered down in that Parliament is only advisors of it. And I can sense that we feel strongly that Parliament should still be consulted. But all of us have our focuses that we need to control.
Yeah, I think the view was a
I understand that that's what you should do, but my issue now, from where I'm sitting, is the availability of time against the program that we have in time. Secondly, the issues that we find to be issues that we challenge for the patient, are they of such a nature that they would need a second time or they would need a decision now? For instance, this issue of the question of consultation. What would stop us from adopting the bill of an amendment that speaks to consultation? That resolves that we don't actually need to take away that right of the consultation. The second area that I've picked up, we can all find some satisfaction, is that one of the term of office. Because if the minister has got all the right to intervene in the operational, in the operation, in actual, of the board, what difference would it make if you reduce the time frame? Because the immediate thing that comes to mind is the term of office of a minister is 5 years. You reduce that to 3 years. You extend, you further give the minister in terms of your minister the right to then, while in the process of appointing a new board, to extend the lifespan of the board. Yeah? Now, if that term of office is extended by 6 months, for instance, it means that that board has served for 3 years, 6 months, or 8 months. And on top of that, you are then giving that board a lifespan of another 3 years. By the time they enter their second year, is a new minister. So that minister is going to inherit a product that he or she might not necessarily behave with, then he must expand the board and all the sort of things. So therefore, in terms of governance of the board and itself, we created unnecessary instability on the functionality of that. But now my view would be that it must remain 5 years, but instead empower the minister to intervene or to be able to get involved more proactively in dealing with such problems, not even affecting the operations of the board itself. That would be my view, that if we adopt the bill as to the guidance today, therefore these amendments will therefore be considered. But if we have to come back again, what are the issues that would need more? Because I would agree to have a second time. If there are substantive issues that we feel that they would need further repairs, they would need further clarity and blah. But nothing takes away the point that we can come back for the second.
You see, sir, my problem is that the portfolio can get the briefing, they get presented with the bill B27. And they get a briefing on it, and they go back and study it, and they go to the various study groups. They come back and they come in with their own amendment, which then produces B37B. Well, A actually is their amendment, and then B is produced. And we are expected as the NCOP in one meeting to say, yeah, I'm on the right, without the time also to go and study this in conjunction with 3 different or 4 or 5 different principal acts. And to make up my mind clear, that's the problem. Now, I hear what you say about time, but again, the NDOP is pushed into a corner because of time that was taken up by the other chairs of Parliament. That's my point.
Okay.
But I will abide by the authority of the
Hindus.
Thank you, gentlemen. Gentlemen, before coming back with the argument on the other table, if I may get into your request, a demonstration when you presented your argument. To me, the shortening of tenure of office, I would understand it to be if the minister can only regulate in regulating that I will as and when intervene and as and when it is needed. And in the Act, it says that 5 years. If the minister intervenes with regulation, it may lead into litigation. Because the person has been appointed is bound by the Act. That this is my tenure of office. Whatever comes then, it needs to be go to trial, it needs to be go to any hearing. There's a lot of procedure that is going to happen. If in the Act, because I did not read thoroughly the full text, if there's an overrider in the Act, then there's no need to reduce the tenure of office if there's an overrider in the Act, as and when the minister is still speak. Can then terminate the tenure office of an officer or a board or whatever. There must be an overrider in the Act. If there's no overrider, certainly in the Act, then it will cause a problem. And it will cause the them to reduce the tenure of office, if I understand the argument. I tend to reduce the correction. But coming back to the subject before us today, to say we accept the bill with amendment, which amendment are we referring to? Have we amended anything, or we accepted the bill with the NA amendment, because these are amendments proposed by NA. Now, as the second house, I see no reason why can we not suggest amendment, but if we adopt it with amendment, then there's no amendment which was proposed. This is the only amendment that is back. And therefore, say, if I want to now make a way forward, I feel still strong that probably it was a short-sighted on the NA, because we do have money of our various habits in those portfolio offices. What was the rationale behind it that they have accepted this, of which we find that they are not accepted? And therefore, I would say, I can only put my weight behind it if the parliamentary committee, because there are two things that are being eliminated here. The publication in Gazette is done away with. I understood today there are no, we're going to the rural areas, nobody gets that. Including probably some of us, we don't even read that. That I can do away with. But the submission to the shortlist to the parliamentary committee is done away with us, so very strong that needs a review. And I can only put my weight behind it if that is reviewed, or I'm convinced that the committee should have it. With that amendment, I would say yes, we can do it. What is having a valid point? We need to discuss these issues without probably having the board, the department with us, interrogated for political, because this is affecting 75. And where do you get a mandate from a party? It has its point. And therefore we cannot come here and they find the accepted. Then you go to the caucus and you ask for a mandate. They say what mandate you are. No, we will ask the mandate that we support the bill and say, who gave you that mandate? Because they want to know our deliberations in committee. What did you say before coming and asking the mandate? That is the very point that we need to do. The time is of essence, I know that. Get up now with 5 weeks. If I take the taking parliament to be, we will have to give a 5 week performance. Yes, the time is not about our time. What do we do? I doubt if the department will agree with us that yes, we will reconsider this and send it to you by whatever way that yes, we have done away with whether the NA will accept. Thank you. I follow the discussion with all my state, but from a practical point of view, if we can say we come back 2 weeks time and then propose amendments, then the whole process starts again going to the NA and then come back to the whole process starts again. Then I ask myself, but why wait for 2 weeks now before proposing amendments? Why can't we propose amendments now? Specifically say in terms of the Parliament role, and then we don't use 2 weeks, but then the process starts immediately of then go to
because if we propose amendments today, the law advisors have to produce a 27 sheet and bring it back to us to look at, and if we'd have to get 27 each. So there is another 15
weeks. Yeah,
but
that's the solving the problem. Why don't we do it today? And then with the next 15, we consider the fee or whatever. And the plan to start. And I don't want to delay this thing. I think this thing must be passed during this session. I mean, I'm not so sure. If you're going to say meet them on the terms, because I'm just looking at the program here, it's possible for conversion on the terms. Why can't you then consider the amendment the key bill on the terms? Because it's only in the negotiation mandate for the little housing bill, is it half an hour?
Not more than an hour. And then from there. That's what happens. We are amending the Constitution. And the view is that the EQS right of power is in the Constitution. What is it? What we are doing today, we are presented with an amendment which amends the principal act.
A number of things.
Okay, yes, a number of things. And one of the key things that we find to be quite a contested area is the consultation in front of us, okay, which is in the principal act. Now, we say it must be made. Is that an amendment?
Okay,
so we don't agree with
that. That's
not
the next issue because the Constitution
Yes.
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 Parliament responsible for road traffic matters has submitted a short list of candidates to share on the committee. 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9,
committee to Parliament responsible for road traffic matters.
Okay. Just for clarification, if I understand that correctly, the only what do you call it, the agency where the Parliament is mentioned as a consultation is the traffic agency, if you want.
Okay.
The others, it doesn't exist. There is no such clause that Parliament should be consulted. Anyway, so if we then amend this one, it doesn't apply to the other. So how amendment be first of all that this clause remains in this one and it be added to the other. Is that the, what you are saying? To the other idea.
One of the requirements of the system of planning against the land was that if you want to get all this government to have to be uniform, that is why we come from that this LG, you see, in the RPA case, it should be removed that and just to get the uniform to have it.
Okay. No, we agree with the principle of uniformity. That is why we are proposing that uniformity to stretch to those where it did not even exist and still remain in this one. And then we have uniformity in relation to consultation of Parliament. So the principle remains of uniformity.
So like a good 13 years. No change.
money. So the overlap are already, really, we are looking to any controllers because it's not committed just to the commerce. So 3 years,
not
5 years,
some of office,
yeah, it's not some of office related. And so either way, we are not going to be able to solve that because there is no fundraising of stock, and then we're going to wait for all of them to expire at the same time, and then start the new cycle again. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yeah, I'll also support the motion that supports lifespan being shortened to 3 years. So if you support lifespan 5 years, you do get some sort of complacency that's in the board. Only the CEO is given 5 years, the CEO is the employee of the stock in the front. But the board lifespan, I think, would be. Because in such a time that a new minister gets into office, he or she can then inherit that term of office that he or she occupies, and then appoint a new board, because a new board lifespan won't run the same as the minister. So it's also a good thing that we can have a board now. I would support that motion.
This is
our deserved
from
that.
What is the partner's actually carrying
out here? Not to, he's got a lot of words. They're not very comfortable with their own decisions in the choice of all. The quality of the decision they know is they're not comfortable with that. That's why they would rather have a proposal for 3 years than 5 years. And if they now take away the oversight function of the parliament, it's even. They feel less comfortable. The reason for reducing that is because they are certain to their own expectations and quality of decision making on appointing a board. If they make a mistake, they know it's only there for 3 years. But if they're there for 5 years, they must be sure that the decision that's made by the, for the appointment of that person is the right decision. So they're trying to water down their own quality of decision making.
I think we agreed on one thing that says we need to have another session. We are agreed on that. We have raised that issue before the department to consider. And in that second round, then be able to give much more detailed response. Of course, it will also allow us the party to go out and find common ground perhaps amongst ourselves, or even with the party. You know, we don't know what might happen in our next meeting, because one will still raise the view that 3 years of such a strategic board. I mean, these are not just youth clubs that have been established here. We're talking about boards that have got a transformational agenda. They've got a responsibility to contribute to the developmental state that we seek to build. It's not just an institution that has been created for years. We want to gain promotion to the Premier League. It's not about it. It's about the people's lives, it's about the transformation, it's about a buy-in to the agenda of government as a whole. And link, of course, is the question of now, if you give me 3 years to do that responsibility, the first year alone, as a board member, I'm still found wanting here. I'm trying to familiarize myself with the environment that which I have to work in. The next year I start moving. The third year I must seek reappointment. I might not even be considered for reappointment. And so forth. How would you measure my performance? How would you measure the quality that I'm putting in and all those sorts of things? And I think those are the things that we are raising as a select committee, which I think we are putting to you as a department to go back and consider. And maybe in our next meeting, we might even find common ground on some of the issues that we're raising. Of course, we're not taking away any argument as nonsensical or whatsoever. Every contribution is a valuable contribution. It's just for us to find a way of coming closer to each other, which leaves us now with the program we have. One is that next week on the 24th, we are having two conventions, and a brief by Sandra. But Sandra is in our between 2 and 4. And we have two conventions in the world. And normally, I mean, conventions are not robust in the States, because by their nature, you cannot even amend them. I don't have much in the States with the international conventions. Now, if we can deal with the two conventions in the first 30 minutes of our meeting, between 10 and half past 10, we still have said about 2 hours, an hour, and 30 minutes. So let's say let's agree that our meeting for the purpose of the amendment we started here. One of the conventions that we discussed.
Sure.
Are we okay?
Yeah, just 1 point. Also, as the starting point right now, to look at the resources of the diplomacy. So, what is the implication of leaving the principle at this, which is scrutiny by the parliamentary committee, but also applies it to the other?
I think that's we agree on the principle of uniformity. But that uniformity must retain this and exactly. Agree. Is there any other thing before honorable members? I request the department to excuse us because it's just one indication that I in the absence of anything, then thank you very much. courtesy of this committee, I invited for that. Once in the panel, thank you very much. Thank you. See you next
year.
You must go back to the door.
We can
open the door. Well, thank you very much, and we'll meet next week. Remember, it's just a short week. It's an invitation in our process to grant us a chair.
I'll be
Normally on Wednesday, people have come down to start on Monday. What we can do, in actual fact, the invite is for the entire group. What we can do, we can make a formal submission.